Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Woo, woo! Good Friday morning, everybody. The first round of the NFL draft is in the books. And my, oh my, did that feel good last night, guys, to get to watch that?
Sure did. It felt like real finally getting to see some real sports, even though it was not a competitive game. It was competitive in terms of the nature of trying to land picks. It just being able to see it again, have conversations about sports and what people are going to do. It just feels like we're getting closer to the end of this stuff.
Yeah, it felt good, and it was strange because everybody's in their family rooms or their kitchens or whatnot, and Roger Goodell is in his lair doing whatever it is that he was doing, staring at those television screens. But like you said, Key, man, it was just sitting around waiting for them to make their selections. It just felt right. Well, they could have wheeled it into the garage, I guess.
Well, that's the only place, you know, some people don't live like you think. Now, in terms of flexing, Jerry flexed the most. Because Jerry was on a yacht, you know, several hundred million. So he flexed the most. And then Cliff Kingsbury, he basically wanted you to see what he was working with. I'm young. I think he's single. He's a head coach. So all the women that was watching the draft that was single and whatnot, he was letting y'all know, like, this is what I do.
Why are you saying women?
Thank you, LC.
He was letting everybody know, this is what I do. He wanted you to know, all y'all dogs out there, you old man coaches up there with your treadmills in the background and stuff, this is how you coach an NFL team. This is how your place is supposed to look. This is how you're supposed to dress. This is supposed to, how you're supposed to go at it. He was clean.
You know, Coach Zim sitting up there looking like he just came back from hunting in Minnesota somewhere.
Well, I was going to say, some guys were exactly what you thought it was going to be. And you mentioned, Key, that Mike Zimmer from the Vikings was conducting his draft from some log cabin in Minnesota that had half of a dead zoo stapled to his wall. I mean, it was like, dude, what are you doing? How many dead animals
Peter
do you need
go
on
get
your
him.
Wall?
Peter, get that for him.
Peter, Carol going to get him first. Carol Baskin, she'd have got a flight. She's all the way up there right now to have some conversations with them.
Yeah, it was great. And like we said, it was just fun to watch it happen. And while it was very unusual and a little choppy at times as far as the flow of the entire thing goes, they did an amazing job of pulling that thing together because you've got, you know, dozens of players, dozens of executives, you got dozens of analysts in different places. And then that thing came off as well as it did. I really do think it's a credit to everybody because what could have been a disaster was not.
No, I thought they did a hell of a job. You know, it wasn't really, you really had to be looking for the glitches just because there's a pause and Trey Wingo goes and says something and nobody else responds for 30 seconds. That's not necessarily a major glitch. That may just be a delay happening at that point in time or somebody not ready to push the button to go to that camera, wherever that person was, but it was flawless as far as I was concerned. Again, you had to really be looking to see anything that was wrong.
There wasn't a ton of action early there as far as trades go. And as the picks started to come off the board, especially through the first three or four, it was pretty much business as expected, including at the very top, Key, Joe Burrow. I know that you're not crazy high on him, but he went number one. We thought he would. And the Bengals needed a quarterback, and they took their guy.
Yeah, they did. And it's not that I'm not high on him. If you notice, after he got picked, there was a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, this is a pick that they wanted all the time. But here's some of the problems with Joe Burrow. So people started pointing things out after the pick. Look, if they surround him with good players and they somehow understand what he is and get him to play within himself, they have a chance to maybe win some football games. There's no question about it. But you've got to build a young quarterback. You've got to be able to put people around him so he can be successful.
I kept hearing what you were saying, Key, when they were talking about Joe Burrow, and they showed a couple of highlights from him when he was still at Ohio State. Obviously, he had one of the great seasons, not just of recent memory, in the history of college football. They didn't lose a game. They beat seven top 10 teams. He won the Heisman Trophy. They won the national championship. He's the number one pick. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing story. But I kept going back to what you were saying, that this was a guy that couldn't get on the field at Ohio State. And he had one great season. And I kept thinking about that. I kept thinking, okay, did he just bloom late? Is he just a guy that figured it out a little bit later than everybody else? Or was that season all of the things that you've said that he's – I mean, we watched that draft last night. About every other pick was a player from LSU.
It was. I mean,
it's just crazy.
And many of the analysts last night spoke about how he played with great players surrounded around him. So although he was selected number one overall, at the end of the day, a lot of people were not convinced that he was the number one overall pick. A lot of people were not convinced of that because you heard their comments post the pick.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning that things of the nature like he's playing with a bunch of receivers. He got a running back. His defense is this. I mean, you heard all of those sort of things. He doesn't get the football like most of the throws that he's completing or in tight spaces or underneath ball so the receivers bailed him out. That may not work in the NFL. You know, you start to hear those sort of things after he's picked.
So give me an idea of where you think this ultimately winds up for him. I mean, he's going to be a rookie next year, and it's going to be a struggle because that's just the way that it goes for most rookies. But 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, he is not playing well.
He's quarterback really of the Cincinnati Bengals with a new head coach.
He's still the guy, though. Is he Andy Dalton? Is he better than Andy Dalton? Is he worse than Andy Dalton?
I think he's about Andy Dalton.
And that's golly, is that a win? Is that a draw? I mean, if you just drafted another guy like you had first overall, that can't be considered a win, right?
Well, they obviously don't think it is, and it may not be. You ask me. They may not think that. I think that. I don't see that he's a special player like that. I mean, that's for my money, I just don't. I think the Miami Dolphins, I mean, not the Miami, the San Diego Chargers got the better pick of the quarterbacks on the board.
Well, the LA Chargers got Justin Herbert out of Oregon, the guy that you've been in love with and thought was the number one overall in terms of quarterback anyway. I like the pick. But I still would prefer if they got Cam Newton and just allow Justin to sit for a little bit, even though, you know, chances are if you're a quarterback and you're drafted in the top 10, there's a chance you might see some action your rookie year. That just seems to be the trend, and which is what happens. It's very hard to imagine, unless you're Tua maybe, and there's health concerns, it's hard to imagine you losing, you have this QB, and that QB doesn't see any time. With that being said, I still think the best route for him going forward is to sit and to learn, because that team has expectations of getting back into postseason. And it's hard enough to be a rookie quarterback, from what my experience in terms of talking to rookie quarterbacks, it's hard enough to come in and just get the plays right. It's even worse to come in and get the plays right because there are expectations. We're supposed to be a good team.
Well, I would say this, that if there is no Cam Newton and Tyrod Taylor is the guy and he starts to struggle, they will go to Justin Herbert and speed up his clock. The plan is not to start Herbert immediately.
All right, so Herbert is with the Chargers. Cam is still looking for his next spot, and Tua is in Miami. Jordan Love is in Green Bay backing up Aaron Rodgers, and that's a whole nother conversation altogether. Let's talk about the quarterbacks that went in the first round last night, specifically Jordan Love and what that means for Aaron Rodgers. That's all coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So the draft continues later today with the second round, and we'll move through the entire weekend. We'll finish it all up. The Rams have some picks coming up. They pick 52nd overall today, so the Rams will get at it as well. But last night, 32 picks, first round. And Keith, just very quickly, when we were done last night, the draft ended around 9 and change. Who did you say, you know what, they had a great night? Who, to use the draft parlance, who won the draft in your estimation?
You know, I felt like that about the Raiders. They addressed two needs. No matter what we feel about the corner from Ohio State, they addressed both needs that they needed, which was a cornerback and an explosive wide receiver.
The Raiders take Henry Ruggs III at 12 from Alabama, and then they get Damon Arnett, who is kind of an interesting guy. Like, he was a senior. He was on the opposite side of Okuda. He was the guy that they went at more than often than not. Watching it last night, they were saying he's a second-round, maybe even a third-round guy. He went 19th overall. That was a bit of a surprise.
There was. He went higher than what people probably had him graded at, but sometimes you fall in love with one guy versus another guy, and the guy that you actually should be drafted as the better player. And maybe the Raiders felt that way when they went to get him.
You know, we gave the Raiders, not us, but the world gave the Raiders a little bit of a hard time for their draft last year. All the guys they picked last year in the first round were good players. Maybe not mega stars, especially Farrell.
They all contributed.
Exactly. They were functional NFL players, which is at least the minimum bar that you want to clear, and they did.
And Jonathan Abrams, the only guy that didn't give him a whole lot because he got injured in the beginning of the season in the first game. But other than that, I'm pretty solid on what the Raiders picked. Now, when they got to that pick and everybody's thinking they're going to get Jordan Love, I kept saying to myself, they're not going to do that. Don't mm-hmm. do something stupid. Address what you need. And now they get a chance in day two and day three to finish up their draft. And hopefully they finish as strong as they can.
Okay, so one of the guys that we thought was going to be maybe the most volatile as far as where he goes, and it was all health-related, was Tua Tagovailoa. Tua ends up going to Miami. A lot of people thought that's where he would go at five. That's where he does end up going. Let's take a listen to his former head coach, the head coach at Alabama, Nick Saban, saying that he's happy the Dolphins made that call.
Well, first of all, I was elated that they made that decision, and I think they got a great player. You got a guy that's a great leader. It's the most popular guy maybe ever in our program here because of a great personality, very well-liked by his teammates. And, I mean, this guy can do it all. I mean, he is a really, really good instinctive player. He's got a great arm, really accurate with the ball, has really good judgment, good feet in the pocket, good feel in the pocket. So I think this guy is going to be a great player in the NFL for a long time.
Nick Saban was, quote, elated. I don't know what elation looks like on Nick Saban's face. I don't think I ever really want to see that. But did Nick Saban get two of that spot, Key?
I think he did at the end of the day. I think he not only talked him into it, he spooked him. And he spooked him by mentioning Drew Brees and then felling Drew Brees on a physical. And Drew Brees turned into a Hall of Fame quarterback and going to Super Bowls and doing everything else. And look how long he's played since they failed him on the physical. The last thing that they wanted to do again was make that same mistake, and he made sure to let them know what we did before. I could still be the head coach there now if y'all had just passed him on his physical.
Does that really work? I mean, who's still in that building that was there, what, 15, 16 years ago, whatever the freak it was, when
well, it's not a definitive. It wasn't the all. That's why they did it. It's just a mention to put on your minds that as Dolphin faithful, just remember what happened the last time we needed a quarterback that had injuries. We failed him. It's just putting it out there in the air. That's all. He didn't say do this or this is what's going to happen. He just dusting it out there. Why else even mention it?
Well, that's true. That's true. It just seems as if they didn't need much convincing since they've been trying to do this for almost like 2 years anyway. Tank for Tua has been pretty much their motto for at least a season and a half. So it didn't seem like they needed a whole lot of convincing to grab the guy they've been targeting for this long anyway.
Well, the interesting thing is the offensive coordinator there now is Shane Gailey. Shane Gailey is the new offensive coordinator. Shane Gailey is a one-trick pony at quarterbacks, and this fits his style, a guy who could – do a little RPO stuff, run around, smaller QBs. Shane Gailey, if you go back and you look at Shane Gailey's history, he's never really dealt with huge quarterbacks. He's always had these kind of athletic slash type dudes that he was using no matter where he was at. I think he even coached like J.P. Losman or something like that. So when you look at that, you can see, and I'm saying to myself, I hope Brian Flores did not allow him to talk them into drafting this dude when Shane Gailey will be gone in a year or two. I hope not.
I mean, I think the Drew Brees thing is directly connectable. I mean, they've really struggled since then. They had a guy that was injured that they said, you know what, I don't want to take a chance here. Sometimes you got to take a chance. And the last time they opted not to take a chance, it blew up. Let's be honest. If Nick Saban says the guy can play, the guy can probably play. I don't think that Nick Saban's going to put his reputation on the line by singing this guy's song if he doesn't think that he at least has a really good chance of being a good pro. So add all those things together. Nick Saban saying so. The history of, you know, the last time we decided not to go with a really talented guy because his medicals didn't look perfect, it blew up in our face. It makes sense. That, I mean, and again, look, if it doesn't work, they're exactly where they were before. Yeah, they had a high pick and it didn't go their way, but all right, let's do it again. And if it does hit, they could have their guy for the next decade.
And that is probably their thinking. They're thinking that they could have their guy for the next decade if it does, in fact, work. He just had so many injuries for me that I would just be a little afraid. I don't care if it's the finger, the thumb, the nail. It just every you look at his report, he had a list, man, that went from the top of the TV to the bottom.
It is interesting because on the one end of the spectrum, you do have the Drew Brees. But then they did take a chance on a guy who had injuries and Dante Culpepper, and that didn't last very long at all. So you got kind of both examples with that franchise where you decide to take a chance on a guy with injuries and he flames out right away. And then they didn't take a chance on a guy and he ended up working out.
Let's listen to Mel Kiper here. He's talking about Tua, and he thinks that Tua needs to sit down for the entire season coming up.
Here's Mel Kiper. I really believe he needs the medically red shirt, let that body heal. But he's got to be more aware in the pocket and obviously stay away from trouble. He's got tremendous feel for throwing the football, throw it through progression, so anticipatory a thrower. And the thing about him is he's not accurate. He's precise. He's a dart thrower. So I said what they all said, left-handed Drew Brees. They had passed on Drew Brees because of an injury. Now Nick Saban's quarterback, Tua, injured. They don't pass on him. They take him. Now I think they got to sit him for a year, build that offensive lineup, and get ready for 2021.
Left-handed Drew Brees. I don't. Key, you tell me. And when I look at Tua, I don't see a lot of Drew Brees in him.
Man, you got to say somebody. But right? I mean, you got to say somebody. You can say Russell Wilson. If he'd have gone in the third round, it would have been Russell Wilson. So it's just you got to say somebody. All right, I think he's done a tremendous job at Alabama, but the one thing that scares me in all of it is his injuries. I mean, you got wall fractures, you got dislocated hips, you got fingers, it's always something. That to me is a little scary when I'm taking a guy at five.
Well, I just love the fact that he actually got a suit.
It was a good one, too.
It was a real good one. It had some traditional Polynesian lays, you know, with the family dressed around them, you know, representing the Samoan heritage and all that good stuff. I like the fact that he came in like himself. He wasn't afraid to talk about his faith right out the gate with the interview. He was like, first thing I'm thinking is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This, I'm Polynesian. I'm a Christian. I like the fact that he appears to be comfortable in his own skin.
This is the boom or bust, right? I mean, this there really is no middle ground for him. If he did, like we were talking about with Joe Burrow, who went number one overall, if he turns into another Andy Dalton, I think we'd all like, all right, yeah, that feels about right. If Tua turns into an Andy Dalton, it feels like a huge loss. He needs to be a left-handed Drew Brees if we're going to consider it a success. He's dealing with those expectations that we talk about so often, that where you get picked and what people think you're going to be coming in determines what we think. Because Russell Wilson, Key, you just said it. Third-round pick, Russell Wilson comes in, and it's like, oh, my gosh, look at this. We got this in the third round. Whereas if you take a guy in the first round with Jared Goff, who goes number one overall, and look, Russell Wilson's a better football player than Jared Goff at this point, but we're evaluating Jared Goff as the number one pick in the draft. So anything less than excellence is looked at as, oh, this guy can't play.
And that's true. And you know, it's all about where you get drafted. I was reading something the other day, and somebody said Reggie Bush was a bust. I said, Reggie Bush wasn't a bust. Reggie, oh, well, you go that high, you're supposed to go to multiple Pro Bowls. I'm like, but it's not his fault that they took him two instead of 25th. It just doesn't – it's not. And same thing with Jared Goff. But the expectations that's put on, the higher you go, there's higher expectations.
All right, so the Cowboys took a wide receiver. Was that a luxury pick, or did they draft for need? That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
All right, so the first round is in the books, and Key, the Cowboys went with a wide receiver with their first pick. They took CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. It was kind of interesting because they have a couple of very talented wide receivers that are coming off some pretty good years. Luxury pick because he's a really nice player in CeeDee Lamb, or do you feel like they needed to add a third wide receiver because of need?
You know, I thought they would go after a safety of some sort, maybe Alexander kid from Alabama, but then I was also figuring, oh, you know what, they do need another receiver. I know Gallup and Cooper certainly had good years last year, but whenever you get a guy that could fall into your lap, that's the best available on your board, higher rated than your safeties, because you can get a safety later on in the draft or corners later on in the draft because they're so stacked up at that position. You take a guy like CeeDee Lamb, and when they did that, I said, oh, okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. You got to remember they lost Randall Cobb, you know, so they need to replace him. What's the kid that they had, Raj, from TCU? Was it TCU? The kid was there, running receiver that they had?
Williams.
Not Williams.
Terrence Williams, and then they had the slot guy, the white guy that went to Buffalo.
Well, they had both of them, so they lost a couple receivers over the last couple of years. So you certainly want to give Dak Prescott all of the weapons that he needs to be, you know, excellent. You got him a tight end. You got him 2-3 receivers. You got him a running back, an offensive line. Now you just work on the defense the second and third days of the draft.
Yeah, Dak is not going to be without guys to throw the football to. He's not going to be with you. They've got that great offensive line. They've got Zeke behind him. Now they've got Cooper. They've got CeeDee Lamb. They've got all of these Gallup on as well. That, as far as the offense goes, they are pretty much about what you would ask for. There are not a lot of holes left on that offense anymore. No excuses there.
None at all. I mean, there won't be any excuses. It's just that now I just hope CeeDee Lamb figure out how to juggle both phones.
He's got quick hands. We know that.
Yes, yeah, indeed. So indeed.
Very quickly, let me set this up for people that maybe didn't get a chance to see it. When they cut to CeeDee Lamb taking the phone call with what we were presuming was the call from the Cowboys saying, hey, we're going to pick you. He's on the phone in one hand, and in his other hand, he has a second phone, which a young lady who's sitting next to him takes out of his hand very momentarily, and then he very quickly and slickly takes it back and looks at her like, no, man, you're not going to get a chance to look at this phone.
No, that's because other teams could have been calling. He got the phone set up, so he want to make sure that she's not interrupting the other team's calling. And that's smart on his part. And like he said on the response to all the negativity, he wanted y'all just to know that y'all really need to chill out because it wasn't even like that. Y'all making it out of more than what it is. That's what he said.
So my lying eyes all over again, huh? That what I saw wasn't what I saw.
Well, I'm going to just tell you this. It looked like he had a bat phone, and his bat phone went off. And either something popped up, or somebody emojis or something came, and he was on the phone with something, and she saw it vibrate a couple times, and so she went to get it to be like, yo, what are you doing? And he had to just let her know with the side eye and everything. Like, man, you better.
Well, her name is Crimson Rose. And she
got famous already, Lord.
She's got right. About, let me check here. She's got about 2,700 followers on Twitter, and she tweeted out a message for all of you who thinks that, you know, was something more than what it was. Quote, his agent was FaceTiming him while he was on the phone with the Cowboys. I was doing the girlfriend thing, going to answer it for him. Smiley face, she's. Now, personally, I don't buy it. But if she says that's what happened, I'm going to let her live in her truth. I'm just going to tell you, from the outside looking in, I've had agents for a long time. I have never snatched the phone out of my husband's hand that fast. My agent calls. I'm just telling you.
Okay, there's a whole other part of this that we have not discussed yet, which is the deadest giveaway of them all. Watch both of their faces. Okay, when you see both of them, that's not a hate. You know, there's the agents calling. Let me just take that back. That is the look from her is, Yeah, I tried. And the look from him is, what, are you out of your damn mind? You don't get to look at that second phone. That's not for you. Why do you think I have a second phone in the first place?
And when he grabbed it, she had a lightweight clutch on it. I'm looking at it now. Like, he grabs it. She kind of had, but she like, nah, let me not act up on this TV.
Exactly, man. She had two hands on the phone, and there was a pause. There was a moment of tension. And she decided to let it go to your point, Key, but she had two hands on it. You know, she was like, I got to see this. This phone been ringing all last night, too. Who is this?
What, Elsie, tell me her name again.
She was like, this is Jake from State Farm. Okay, Jake from State Farm.
What is her name? Crimson what?
Crimson Rose.
C-R-Y-M-S-O-N.
Of course. I didn't think it was with an I. I mean, come on.
But LZ, we talked about it. How was she positioned? How about she knew exactly where the camera was? Okay, I got this short skirt.
Rod,
I'm going to put my legs right here.
Her name is Crimson Rose, Rod. Yes, she knew. Yes, she knew where the camera was. You crazy?
Man, she from the sticks of Texas. Leave that girl alone.
Well, man. What's the over under on Crimson Rose being with CeeDee Lamb a year from now? I mean,
listen,
what are we talking about?
All you need to do is look at Mama. Look at Mama next to CD. Look at her. Watch how it unfolds.
You guys are so cruel.
You look at her face, how she's checking the phone, how she look at how they interact, and then she's got the smile on his face. Yeah, I told you she ain't going to last.
Travis, y'all cruel, man.
What did I do?
A nice church girl.
I'm just stating the facts.
You say, will she be there a year from now?
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, I think that's
put
a fair question for all of those girlfriends.
Listen, let me tell you something. Jeez. Aaron Rodgers got more security right now than that girl does. I'll tell you that.
You don't see the picture I just sent y'all, though.
Well, hold on. Stand by.
That's a good one. Yeah.
See? Exactly. Exactly.
When they show that picture, it's like, well, yeah, you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to last.
Here's the thing. There's not one thing in that entire exchange. Nothing about that screams it was the agent calling. Not one thing. Not the positioning of the people in the picture, not the looks on their faces, not the speed in which he snatched that phone back. There's not one thing that leads you to believe, you know what, that could have been an innocuous exchange.
No. Angela Bassett sitting next to him gave it all away. She told you the whole story without saying a single word. She saw the phone being snatched. She saw her son's response to the phone being snatched. She saw the girlfriend's response to the phone being snatched back. And then she had a face like, yeah.
Y'all sound like me when I told Lonzo Ball, man. You remember that, LZ? I
remember that.
She ain't going to be here in a year.
Anyway, hold on a second. You did that and you're telling us that we're cruel?
Well, at least I was right.
Yeah, well, I got news for you, Key. We're going to be right about this one, too.
Yeah, dog. Man.
Well, yeah. If nothing else, Crimson Rose will have a video for her Twitter feed for the foreseeable future.
It is so funny because as you scroll down and you start reading some of the comments, this is exactly what people were saying. Like, oh, yeah, he just got drafted. You toast.
The only thing she can hope for is she can at least make it a camp. Because if you can make it a camp, you know, then you got a chance to, you know, make a business decision.
No, if you're making it to camp, you ain't going to make it to camp. I don't even see you anyway. So, and then when my teammates' wives, sisters come around, it'd be over anyway.
Yeah.
It was, I would argue, the highlight of the draft. There were some interesting football choices that some guys went to wear, but as far as just the lifestyles of the NFL rich and famous, that was the highlight of the night.
I mean, think about it. What if he turns out to be like one of the five greatest wide receivers in the history of the league? And every single time they show the clip of him being drafted, the way they do Tom Brady and everybody else, Aaron Rodgers, that's the clip that shows. That's the clip that shows. Like, it's like, I feel bad for him because this is his once in a lifetime moment and is forever married to this scene that a lot of people view as embarrassing. And it's just, it's so funny. It's like, you know, if he goes on to be a great, that's going to be in his Last Dance video documentary. That's going to be in the books, that moment. And it's so funny.
It is right there on SportsCenter right now as we're talking. So it's gonna live in infamy. The Packers not only took a quarterback, they moved up to take a quarterback in Jordan Love. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? That is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, Key, you tell me, was the move that the Packers made to move up and take a quarterback the biggest surprise of the night?
I would say it is. I'd say it would be a biggest surprise of the night because you didn't anticipate. You figured, okay, they probably need to get him some wide receiver help because Devontae Adams is really their only guy. They lost Geronimo Allison. He's not, you know, he's not there anymore. The tight end, Jimmy Graham's gone. So you're like, okay, they should. But I also understand their thinking. I get what they're doing. I understand how you move back up into the first round to pick Jordan Love because you see, okay, here's a guy who's fallen to us. If we let him fall any further and we sit where we are, we may not get him. 3 years from now, 4 years from now, Aaron will probably be at the tail end of his. Let's not only get a viable backup this year, because Aaron's had some history of injuries in during the season where he's missed a handful of games. Let's get that taken care of, but also down the line and in the future, why not do it now?
You know, it's hard to imagine, but, you know, one day Aaron Rodgers is going to turn 40. And that day is not too far. And I know that we have examples, Brees and Brady, you know, playing into their 40s and playing relatively well. And it's not as if Aaron Rodgers had an awful season. In fact, you can make an argument that he had a very good season. You know, didn't turn the ball over a lot, was in a new system. The team had a lot of success. Struggles early with the offense, but then the offense seemed to get clicking too. But he's going to be 40 in a couple of years. And, you know, to Key's point, you know, you move up a little bit to grab a guy that you can sit comfortably because they have the luxury of doing that. You know, they're not in a situation where they're desperate for somebody to come into the draft and help them out right away because their season was actually really, really good last year.
And it's no, they got to the better. NFC Championship game. They were the number two seed in the NFC, and they had a really good season. And look, I get it. It makes perfect sense that Jordan Love is a project. You probably have to coach him up a little bit, and it's not something that's for next season. It's for 3 seasons down the road, 4 seasons down the road. That doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers is going to feel a certain way about it, regardless of whether or not it's a good decision. Here's the Packers general manager, Bryant Gutekunst, talking about whether or not he let Aaron Rodgers know this is what they were going to do in the first round.
I know that we've had some conversations about different personnel issues and things along the way. I don't know if we particularly talked about that, but he understands. I mean, obviously with his experience being drafted when Brett was here, I think I want to say a year or two after he was here, we drafted a couple quarterbacks. But it's part of the business that he's, you know, there's anybody that understands that it's him. And he's, you know, really focused, I think, on doing something here legacy-wise, and I really appreciate that. And certainly we're going to try to do everything we can to put guys around him to accomplish those things.
So, you know, when he said, well, yeah, we talked about a lot of things. I don't know if we talked about that. And the only reason you wouldn't talk about that is because you know he wouldn't like it. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Well, you got to, whether he likes it or not, he knows about it now. So what's the difference, right? You either tell him then or you're going to tell him when he steps into the building in July, August. So at the end of
You don't think there's a difference, Key, in giving him a heads up like, hey, Aaron, we're going to do this, and here's why. I'm not saying he's going to like it anymore.
No, there is a difference. I'm saying the fact that he said he don't think that he told him or they had that conversation, well, if you didn't, you're going to have it soon when you see him. So.
Well, this is what Aaron Rodgers said to Pat McAfee about 12 hours ago before the draft. We haven't picked a skilled player in the first round in 15 years, so that would be kind of cool. Rodgers says whoever the pick is, he'll track down his phone number and welcome him to the team tonight if the Packers don't trade out. So that's what he said prior to the pick. Now, the question is, when he said that about, you know, a skilled player in the first round, was he thinking wide receiver? Was he thinking something else? Or was he also, because Aaron Rodgers is not stupid. Aaron Rodgers is not just a football guy. He's very cerebral. He had to have known this was a possibility as well. And I wonder if, you know, he stuck to his word in saying, I'm going to track down the guy's number and welcome him to the team.
Well, look, we've talked about this with regards to Breeze and Brady, and this idea that guys can play into their 40s is real. You know what I mean? It's a real thing that Aaron Rodgers turns 37 towards the end of this upcoming season. Okay, so he's still got he's got three full seasons before he gets to his 40s, and we've seen with Brady and Breeze that into your 40s is not a death sentence in the NFL. And if I'm looking at this, like you said, LZ, intellectually, does it make some sense? Sure. But emotionally, I'm thinking, wait a second, what is your plan for me exactly? Not that he couldn't find work somewhere else, but it's a very clear message that they're getting ready for life without me.
Yeah, three, four years from now. And you know that, like you said, like the general manager said, he was there when they drafted Brett Favre. He understands. He knows. He's been through it before, just on the other side of it. And Favre played several years after they drafted him. And when it was time for them to make a move to Aaron Rodgers, they made the move to Aaron Rodgers. And it'll be the same if Jordan Love gives them the belief that he's the guy who's the heir apparent to him, then that'll be the case.
Yeah, this isn't a situation where you're Alex Smith and they move up and they grab – you know, Mahomes, and then the next year you're out. This isn't that. Aaron Rodgers is in a much better place in terms of the team success, but also just in terms of a player than what Alex Smith was. And from all the reports that I've heard, Jordan Love is a project. Patrick Mahomes was considered a reach, but I didn't hear the word project. I heard a reach, but I don't recall hearing project when he was drafted. With Jordan Love, I hear the word project a lot more.
Look, when he says he's going to track down the number to whoever it is and call, okay. We know that Aaron Rodgers is a guy that is different than a lot of other guys in the NFL. He's not the most warm and fuzzy guy in the league. That typically the quarterback is the guy that kind of brings everybody together, and he's not necessarily that guy. And now there's another quarterback in the room with him that is a first-round pick that is a threat to him. This has the potential to be a problem. And not that anybody's going to bench Aaron Rodgers. That's not what this is. Just like they were never going to bench Brett Favre, but the more it starts to bubble, hey, you know, Jordan Love's looking pretty good. Hey, you know, maybe it's time to make this move. That they sped up the clock on that, I think, would bother Aaron Rodgers a great deal.
Well, Brett Favre kind of did it to himself because he was in, he was out. I don't know if I'm retiring. I don't know if I'm coming back. And then to the point where they said, you know what, man, we got Aaron Rodgers. Just go ahead and go.
But remember, Brett Favre also was not very good at that point.
Right.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the season he had, any QB in the league would take that season. From an individual performance and statistical standpoint, anyone would take what he just did this past season. Brett Favre was limping towards the end.
And guys, there's another issue here too. Going back to what the quote that you read, LZ, that they need skill position player help. They need wide receivers. I just saw on the TV the guy that's caught the highest draft pick that's caught the most passes from Aaron Rodgers in his career is Jordy Nelson, okay, who is a nice player. He did a good job, but he has not been given all of these weapons along the way. He's doing it with smoke and mirrors a lot of the time, and that they had an opportunity to take a pick in the first round in a draft that's loaded with wide receivers, and they took a quarterback? I mean, I don't know how that makes me feel if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking at this saying, are we trying to maximize the last 4 or 5 years of my career to make another run, to try to get to another Super Bowl, or are you thinking about life after I'm gone? Because the pick of Jordan Love is life after I'm gone.
The second round's coming up. You could get Michael Pittman Jr. You could get T. Higgins. You can get Laviska Shenault from Colorado. So there's receivers that are still in this draft. There's the Hammond kid from Penn State. There's receivers in the draft. So it's not like you can't, in a deep receiver draft, go into the second, the third, and the fourth round and find a good player.
4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Yeah, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I feel secure. Like, I know old dude is here and all that good stuff, but it would be different if he had reached like double-digit interceptions.
No, LZ, I completely agree with you. Maybe I phrased it inelegantly. It's not that he's worried about losing his job. I would be, and it's not worry is the wrong word. I would be frustrated with, are we trying to win now? Because to win now, I need a wide receiver. To win now, I need a dynamic offensive player. To win now, I don't need a backup quarterback. Are you giving me what I need to win now? It's not fear that I'm going to lose my job. It's frustration that you're not giving me what I need.
But you got to remember, Travis, the draft just started last night. It's one pick. It's just one pick.
But if you're going to move up, wouldn't you move up to try and get like one of those speedy wide receivers? That just,
no, I can get him in the second round. It's deep.
No. CeeDee Lamb is gone. He's not available in the second round.
All the receivers are pretty damn equal in talent. There's no Julio Jones in this draft. There's no Keyshawn Johnson in this draft. Okay? So we can wait. We don't have to move up. There's no real separation with the guys that's on the board.
All right. The Chargers got their guy. They got their quarterback, Justin Herbert, from Oregon. Where the hell else was the rest of the Pac-12 in this draft last night? We'll get into that coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.